Question, why did Jesus come? Answer, three words, 13 letters, to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Why this affirmation of faithful or trustworthy saying? Because in Ephesus, where Timothy was shepherding God's flock, there were those who were saying and teaching things that were unfaithful, corrupting the pure gospel message and therefore detrimental to God's people. This saying is Paul's equivalent of our Lord's frequent yet most solemn affirmation, truly, truly. When Paul says, this is a faithful saying, it's just like the Lord Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto you. Against this backdrop of false teaching, Paul is asserting the trustworthiness of the gospel message he has preached and will preach again in the words that follow, underscoring not only their apostolic authority, but also their divine authority. So that full acceptance that he speaks about is not a matter of mere passive agreement, assenting with the head, but an active appropriation. It must be embraced wholeheartedly. And what is this message from heaven? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ means the anointed one. Prophets, priests, and kings were inducted into office by way of anointing. But even the noblest prophet, priest, or king was still a flawed, fallen human, incapable of saving himself, let alone anyone else. That the people of Israel were expecting the advent of someone capable of rescuing them is evident in John the Baptist's question posed to the Lord Jesus when his disciples came and said, are you the coming one? Likewise, the woman at the well in Samaria utters this confession, I know that Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. This one whose coming had long been anticipated, Paul plainly declares that he has come. Christ Jesus came into the world. And when he came, Joseph was given very specific instruction as to what the child was to be named. Jesus. It's the Greek equivalent of Joshua, which means Yah, the shortened form of Yahweh, saves. Immediately after communicating the child's name, the angel goes on to explain why the name. For he shall save his people from their sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. In his gospel-focused interview with Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus reveals his God-given mission in no uncertain terms. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Likewise, the Apostle John echoes this same thought in these words, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus, John, and Paul all concur. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. To determine who these sinners are, we first need to establish what sin is. Simply stated, sin is doing what God forbids, prohibits, or failing to do what he commands. The testimony of Holy Scripture is abundantly clear. Solomon the Wise reminds us, surely, there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. And Isaiah the prophet condemns even what we deem our good deeds, our righteous doings, calling them but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Paul sums it up plainly in these straightforward words, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Should you doubt the testimony of Scripture, you do well to heed the warning of the Apostle John when he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sadly, the verdict of guilty resulting in condemnation is universal. If you're a descendant of Adam, you qualify as a sinner. The glorious news, however, the best news that could ever come our way, is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The word save used here can also mean to heal or make well, restore to wholeness. Mark uses the same verb when he quotes Jesus saying to the woman who had suffered with the issue of blood, your faith has made you well. Those in Christ are progressively delivered from the bondage, the ravages, the miseries of this life brought on by their own sin and the sin of others. We're freed from guilt and fear of the grave. We are rescued not merely from this present evil age, Galatians chapter 1, but also from the wrath of God to come, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. A storm is indeed coming, but unlike storms that occur in this age, this is a most dreadful storm that will never end. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from misery now and from everlasting misery. Strikingly, Paul is prompted by the Holy Spirit to make a most astonishing personal confession and self-evaluation. He says, of sinners, I am the foremost. And this, having just cataloged in verses 9 and 10, a litany of heinous crimes. Is Paul really exaggerating? Does he really believe what he says? Well, in verse 13, he records that formerly he was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. Opposing and persecuting Christ's followers was crime enough. But when Saul is confronted by the risen Lord himself with the words, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He's blinded by the dreadful reality that he's been opposing, blaspheming, and persecuting the very Son of God himself, crucifying him afresh. No wonder he couldn't eat or even drink for 3 days. The persecutor turned apostle could now say, would now say, with that blameless upright man, Job, for so scripture describes him, behold, I am vile. Can I say that? Can you? That former slave ship captain, John Newton, knew himself beyond the shadow of any doubt to be a wretch. Yet it was precisely that realization that brought him to recognize and lay hold of the amazing grace of God in the person and work of Christ Jesus. Do I see myself as such? Do you? If so, I have great news for you. The same amazing grace that saved a wretch like John Newton is still saving wretches today. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I close with a quote from Denny Burke commenting on this passage. We should feel the weight and ignominy of our own sin as more prominent than the sins of others. It should be a constant item of wonder and astonishment that God would send his Son to die for our sin. We ought to be so amazed and astonished that God would condescend to save us. This should not make us morose and depressed. It should make us humble, grateful, and worshipful.